The U.S.-Saudi relationship is once again under the microscope. After an attack on oil facilities in Saudi Arabia over the weekend, President Trump took to Twitter to blame Iran for the strikes. He said the United States was, quote, locked and loaded to strike back. But he also said he would wait for Saudi Arabia to tell him, quote, under what terms we would proceed, inviting intense criticism from those who have accused him of letting Riyadh direct matters of U.S. foreign policy. This all comes a year since President Trump took heat for standing by Saudi Arabia after the CIA concluded that Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman ordered the murder of Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Martin Smith is a correspondent and producer for Frontline, where he's been reporting on the Middle East for 20 years, and his upcoming documentary is called The Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. Martin, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
So the Trump administration and Saudi Arabia have claimed that the drone strikes, at least so far, have come from Iran. What evidence is there to support that?
Well, I don't think we know exactly what evidence there is. And there's some difference between what the Saudis are saying and what the Americans are saying. They're examining the shards of the missile. They're trying to look at satellite imagery to figure out if they can see trails or traces of where this came from. There's some theories, there's some speculation, but I think it's too early to know exactly where this came from. They seem to agree that this was Iranian technology. The Americans are more certain that it came from Iran. The Saudis are a little hesitant to go there.
So after the strikes in Saudi Arabia, President Trump suggested he was ready to strike back and then said he would wait to hear back from Saudi Arabia first. Tell us, what is this back and forth? I mean, it was the criticism warranted that the president was getting by assuming that we're letting Riyadh run the political show right now?
There are a lot of things that you can criticize the president for. As with any president, I think it's unfair to interpret what he said as meaning that he would let Riyadh decide what we were going to do. It is natural for any president in such a situation to want to confer with, well, in this case, Saudi Arabia, about what we should do. He doesn't always articulate things very clearly. People jumped all over him for this. There's a lot of people who want to jump on him for this, but I think that's a little unfair.
So far, the president has focused on sanctions for Iran, tweeting that this morning. What do you make of the choice to focus on increased sanctions instead of military action?
This is what I expected would happen. I think that the president has shown great reticence to want to get involved in some kind of military confrontation in the Middle East. His base doesn't want it. Many people don't want to see us involved in another war there. So ramping up sanctions makes sense. It was what I thought he would do. I don't know how many more sanctions he has to apply, but he can certainly say he's ramping up sanctions, and that will satisfy a lot of people. Whether he has much leverage here, I don't know. But certainly the Iranians are trying to get his attention, and they have.
The Saudi Foreign Ministry has called for an investigation into the attacks. What would a joint investigation look like if that happens at all between the U.S. and the Saudis?
Well, I think we would be taking the lead in that investigation. I don't know what capability, you know, Saudi Arabia, and I've covered it for many years, is an enormously opaque place. And knowing exactly what capabilities they have here is hard to come by. It's interesting that they didn't have the capacity with all the weapons that are sold to them to protect this facility. On the other hand, I think that this facility is under the aegis of the Ministry of Interior. We've been selling weapons to the Ministry of Defense. I'm not sure they were really capable of handling this.
It's been almost a year since Saudi Arabia came under criticism for brutally assassinating journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Tell us how U.S. relationships, U.S.-Saudi relationships have evolved in that time.
Well, the president immediately said, maybe he did, maybe he didn't, famously, and said, but we're sticking with Saudi Arabia. You have to remember that when the president came to office after his inauguration, his first trip was to Saudi Arabia. This was highly unusual. He had staked his presidency on renovating the relationship that he saw as having gone south under President Obama. He made his first trip there. Most presidents make their first trip to Canada or Mexico or Europe. He made it to Saudi Arabia, and that relationship has been strong ever since. I think that it's caused him some headaches, but he has decided as part of his Iran policy to stand by Saudi Arabia and as part of his son-in-law's policy of trying to drive a peace deal, wherever that is at this point, with Israel and the Palestinians, to stand by the Saudis who have pledged to support that.
You've met and interviewed with the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who has been a controversial figure, to say the least. Tell us about what you talked about during those conversations. I mean, that's going to be part of your upcoming documentary on PBS as well.
Well, watch the documentary. You will see that he comes forward with he takes responsibility
for
what happened to Jamal Khashoggi. It's the first time that he has done that. This was in December 2018, just a couple of months after the murder and dismemberment of Jamal Khashoggi. I asked him, how can they do that without you knowing about it? And he said, well, we have a lot of people here and they have a lot of, you know, they can do things on their own. There was a bit more to that conversation. I urge you to tune in. It's interesting. He has never apologized, as far as I know. He simply has said that I take responsibility because it happened under my watch.
There's been a lot of press on Mohammed bin Salman's attempts to modernize Saudi Arabia. How much of that is just good PR versus actual change for Saudi Arabians under his rule?
I think there's real change in Saudi Arabia. I've been going there many times. I've probably taken 5 or 6 trips to Saudi Arabia over the years. And you see change. But what I think people confuse is social reform with political reform. Freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom to write what you want on Twitter or on Facebook or in a newspaper is a very different thing than having the ability to go see Western movies or go to a Mariah Carey concert. And people look at those reforms and they think, oh, the kingdom is changing. It's opening up. It's modernizing. Well, he wants to modernize. He wants to modernize the economy, attract foreign investments, but he doesn't want to loosen his controls.
Obviously, there's going to be more. We're just scratching the surface of this story in the coming days and weeks. What will you be watching for as this story evolves, particularly with the attacks on the oil refineries?
Well, I think the question for everyone is whether or not we're going to get involved in a shooting war here and what the Saudis are going to try to entice us to do in this case. They don't have the capacity to fight the Iranians on their own.
You mean the boots on the ground capacity?
They don't have the boots on the ground capacity for sure. They have a lot of planes, but they don't have the experience. Their war in Yemen, MBS's war in Yemen, has gone pitifully. They would be in a difficult situation to take on the Iranians, who have capacity to mobilize proxy forces in Iraq, in Lebanon. We've seen what they did in Syria in support of Assad, and we, of course, know what they're doing in Yemen.
Martin Smith is a correspondent and producer for Frontline, where he's been reporting on the Middle East for 20 years. His upcoming documentary is called The Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, which premieres October 1st on PBS. Martin, thanks so much.
Thank you.